يسري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ما بعد. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. On this snow day, I want to give a special welcome to my young friends. Whenever there's a snow day, the children are happy. When the children are happy, I'm happy. So it means snow day means happy imam. So alhamdulillah, I'm happy today. And it's of course the blessed day of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Ameen. My brothers and sisters, my young friends, one of your friends comes to you and asks you some questions. And these questions are of a personal nature. Something that is perhaps a secret, something you don't necessarily want to share with everyone. But because they're your friend and you have some strength in your relationship with them, because you trust them, you give them that information. Or you can say, perhaps someone is looking to get married, and in the course of the discussions, they share some private information about themselves. In either scenario, the weight of holding the secret, or the weight of holding the information that you gave that person who you thought was your friend, or perhaps still is your friend, or the potential potential person for marriage, the weight is too much for them of that secret, of that information. And they have a burning desire inside of them to share it with someone. And they go ahead and they share it with another person. And they tell that person, shh, don't tell anyone, but I'm going to tell you something. And they tell another person. When that person finds out, they also have a burning sensation inside to share this information. So they go to another person and they say, shh, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but you know what? And then they give the information. Now this third person or second person has also a burning sensation inside. And then they go and they spread and they share the information. Perhaps they don't even say, don't tell anyone. Perhaps you did not tell them, oh, this is a secret. Perhaps you just assumed that they will keep it a secret and they will respect your privacy. They will respect the fact that this is something you are telling them in private. But instead, they go ahead and they share that secret and they share that information. And the chain continues. And every person that takes part, they have a share in that snowballing effect of that betrayal of trust. The snowballing? Betrayal of trust. Why do we call it snowballing? Because when you make a snowball, if you're making a snowman, right? You take a little ball, you put in the snow, and you start rolling it, what happens? It starts getting bigger and bigger. Every time you turn it, it gets bigger. Right? So it's a snowballing effect of betrayal of trust. And my brothers and sisters, my friends, this betrayal of trust and breaking of promises, this is from among the signs of hypocrisy. What is it? From among the signs of hypocrisy, from among the signs of nifaq. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that arba'un man kunna fihi kana munafiqan khalis. That there are four things, there are four qualities, and whoever has all of the four is a pure hypocrite. What is the term that he used? Munafiqan khalisan. He is a pure hypocrite. Huh? Like, you know how you have 100% pure orange juice. So this is a pure hypocrite who has these four characteristics. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ فِيهِ خَصْلَةٌ مِّنْهُنَّ كَانَتْ فِيهِ خَصْلَةٌ مِّنَ النِّفَاقِ حَتَّى يَدَعَهَا. And whoever has some of them, some of these characteristics, has a characteristic of hypocrisy until that person gives it up. Until that person gives it up. And the Prophet ﷺ then went through them. That when he is entrusted with something, he betrays or she betrays that trust. When a person is entrusted with something, they betray that trust. They break that trust that a person had put into them. When he speaks, he lies. So when they're talking to people, of course you're not going to be talking to yourself, otherwise you're going to go see a doctor, but you're going to talk to someone. And when they speak, they often lie. When he makes a promise, he breaks it. So betrays trust, lies, breaks promises, and when he disputes, he resorts to falsehood and lies and bad language. You know, reacting in a bad way, in a very negative way, in an aggressive, disreputable way. So these are the four characteristics that the Prophet ﷺ has given of hypocrisy. And anyone who has all four of them, 100% pure munafiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Now, we may be thinking, you may be thinking, that what if a person doesn't agree to keep the secret, but is told to keep a secret, and they never agreed to it? Okay, so when you were talking to your friend, or to that person for marriage, you shared this information with them, and you told them, keep it a secret, but they never agreed to it. Right? And then you went ahead and you told them the information, and you told them the secret. Does that make it okay for them to share that information? And the reality is, my dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, that even if someone tells you something and does not say that it is a secret, but you're able to tell that it is a private or a sensitive matter that they do not want others to know, then it must be kept a secret. Okay? So it's not so technical that, oh, you know, he or she told me that it was a secret and wanted me to keep it a secret, but I never agreed to it. And then they gave me the information, and since I never agreed to it, I can go ahead and share it. That's not how it works. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that إِذَا حَدَّثَ الرَّجُلُ الْحَدِيثِ ثُمَّ الْتَفَتَ فَهِيَ أَمَانَةً. That if a man, if a person tells you something, then looks around. He's going to tell you something, he's looking around to make sure that no one hears what he's telling you or she's telling you. It is an amana. It is a trust. So just the fact that a person is behaving in a manner that they do not want that information to be heard or to be known by others, it means that it is an amana, it is a trust. Regardless of whether they told you to keep it a secret or not. And we also have another narration which has been classified as, you know, having some issues in the chain of narration, some weakness in the chain of narration, but the Prophet ﷺ reported to have said that al-majalisu bil amana, that meetings, gatherings are a trust also. And he gave three exceptions. Right? Amongst them, if there is a planning going on for a for forbidden bloodshed. If there is a planning or a discussion going on about the shedding of blood, about murder, about haram murder, right, or killing which is unlawful, then in that case it is not to be kept a secret. If there is a discussion to plan, you know, or make some sort of arrangement for fornication, then it is not to be a secret. If there is a meeting or a plan, a discussion regarding the usurping people's properties, oppressing people in terms of their properties and their wealth, then that also is not to be kept a secret, does not have to be kept a secret. But apart from these situations, which have to do with the rights of others, protecting others from harm, apart from that, meetings, gatherings, discussions that we have, they are a trust. When the Prophet ﷺ says that it is a trust, فَهِيَ أَمَانَةً, it means it is entrusted to the one to whom he spoke or she spoke, meaning it comes under the same ruling as a trust. So the person who heard it must conceal it. It's just like somebody entrusts you with some money, their keys to their home, to their car, their phone, their jewelry, and says, can you keep it for me for a bit? Can you hold it for me while I am gone? You know, I remember I was in Jeddah airport once. I think I mentioned this before. I was coming back from Umrah. And this random stranger, when I was like standing outside the washroom, and random stranger comes up to me. He's like, brother, can you just hold on to my passport? Here's my bag, my passport, can you hold it? I was like, what? Okay. So, you know, I kept it for a few minutes, used the washroom, he came back, and then gave it to him, right? Very surprising, but alhamdulillah, you know, as he trusted me enough, alhamdulillah. But when a person shares a secret with us, it's the same thing. When a person doesn't tell us, don't share that secret, it's the same thing. When we learn something in a meeting, in a gathering, it's the same thing. It's an amana. And if we betray, if we become a person who betrays amana, betrays trust, That means that we have one of the signs, one of the characteristics of hypocrisy inside of us. Brothers who are coming in, we have room in that space in that room. We have room here on the left side of the hall. So please go ahead and fill in the gaps, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. So when someone is told something, even if it is not stipulated that it's a secret, but it appears to be so, then one must guard it as a trust. So, for example, somebody closes the door, says, I have to tell you something. Or they ask, they're on the phone, and they ask you, is anyone around? Are you on speakerphone? You know? Or they send you a text message or an email. They're assuming that you are the one who's only going to be reading it. All of these things indicate that that conversation, that information needs to be kept private, needs to be kept secret, unless there's a compelling reason, justifiable reason for sharing it. Brothers, please continue inside their space over here. Now, this is regarding something that is either good or benign. If it's a secret, it's a trust, and it needs to stay as a secret. It doesn't have to be something malicious. It doesn't have to be something negative or bad. It's just some information that a person does not want to share. If it's something that's negative, if it's something that's defaming, embarrassing, then it goes up to the next level in terms of seriousness. So this was already serious enough, but it was for something, anything general that a person doesn't want to share. But if it goes to the next level, where it is something negative or something that is defaming or embarrassing, then it becomes even more serious. Because if it's something the person who it's about doesn't like, then it becomes ghiba. And that is very, very serious. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Hujurat, وَلَا يَخْطَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Do not backbite each other. And then the example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives after that, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his brother when he's dead? Would you like to do that? It's a rhetorical question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers, فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. You would detest it. You would hate it. Imagine eating the flesh, the meat of your brother, of another person who is dead. It's disgusting. It's gross. That is how disgusting backbiting is. That is how gross backbiting should be for us. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked his companions, that do you know what is ghiba? What is ghiba? So they said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam. This is one of the characteristics, one of the qualities of the Sahaba. Many times you'll find in narrations in a hadith, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them a question, they didn't say, yes, yes, I know. They didn't do that. Instead, he said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam. Because if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking them a question, it means he's trying to teach them something. It's a moment to learn. So they would say, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam, Allah and His Messenger know best. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, saying something about your brother that he dislikes. Saying something about your brother that he dislikes. So if there is information about another person and that person dislikes that thing being talked about them, that's the definition of ghibah. Now if it's something that a person doesn't like and it's something that's private and hidden, even more serious than ghiba. So you're talking about different levels here. First is just sharing information generally that you have heard in a conversation, privately, in a private conversation. Then we're talking about sharing information that is true that a person doesn't like. And if it goes beyond that, where it's something that's private, it's hidden, the person doesn't like, and especially if it is something which is borderline, you know, exaggeration, maybe it's, you know, half true, then of course it becomes even more serious. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yadkhulu al-jannata namam," that no person who spreads namima will enter Jannah. And the most common definition of namima means telling some people what others have said, so spreading tales, sharing tales, in order to cause trouble among them. So malicious gossip. So this is next level now. Okay, first we're talking about general secrets, anything that you hear privately. Secondly, we're talking about sharing something, seeing something that a person, you know, does not like, which is true. And now we're talking about spreading information with the intention of causing some trouble, of malicious gossip. And when we read the scholarly, you know, works on Namima or what the scholars have written, it appears that it is very broad. It's very broad, referring to the disclosure of anything that may hurt or offend somebody if it is disclosed. You know, whether it is the person who is spoken about who is offended, or the person who hears the gossip is not going to like what they're hearing, or even a third party. So very broad in terms of dislike and offense. So many scholars have given that definition of namima. Whether it is disclosed verbally, whether it is in writing or by means of a hint or a gesture even, whether it is transmitted in action or word, or whether what is transmitted rather is an action or a word or a fault or a shortcoming in the person who is being talked about or in someone else. So you can say that namima is spreading secrets and stories and disclosing that which is not appropriate to disclose with an element of negativity and maliciousness, right? It's one thing that we talked about in the beginning, if somebody is just, you know, not able to hold a secret and they share it, that's still not good. You're not supposed to do that, because as we talked, as we said earlier, it's a betrayal of trust. However, now what we're talking about is sharing that information with an element of negativity or maliciousness. What does that mean? It means that you're sharing that information to bring someone down, or to cause some hurt to someone, or to damage their reputation even a little bit. So some element of negativity or maliciousness will turn that information sharing into namima. So my brothers and sisters, my friends, in other words, we should keep silent and refrain from telling others about anything negative that we see or hear with regards to others. Unless, there's an exception, unless speaking of it will bring some benefit or will ward off some harm, and that is the exception. That is the exception. So the general rule is, you do not share anything about anyone which is negative or harmful or bad about them. Unless there is a legitimate reason, unless there is some benefit in doing so, or it is going to protect against some sort of harm. And that is the exception once again. And when there is an exception, it must be only done to the extent of the need. What's the principle? You have the basic default ruling. And when there is an exception, the exception is only to the extent of the need. You don't go beyond what is necessary and what is needed. So in case, as an example, you need to share some information about someone. So someone comes to you and asks about a third person and they're interested in marrying them. And you know that person, or you know their family that they're interested in marrying. And you know something about them that a person who's getting married to them or getting married into that family should know about. And it's something which is somewhat negative. Or it could be, you know, perceived, understood as being negative or harmful. But you have a responsibility there to share that information with this person because they don't know. Or someone's getting into a business transaction with another person. And they come to you because you know that person, you've dealt with them before. Then you have a responsibility to share whatever information is necessary to help this person make an informed decision whether they should marry that person or not, whether they should engage in a business transaction with that person or not. So whatever you need to share, you share to the extent that is necessary. Right? Similarly, you come across some sort of plan, some sort of discussion for something. If it's going to hurt other people, as we've discussed before, it's going to harm others, then you do have a responsibility to share it, to stop that harm from happening. But what you share should be limited to whatever is relevant and whatever is necessary. The Prophet ﷺ is also reported to have said, "Shall I tell you about the most evil ones from amongst you?" So they said, "Of course, Rasulullah." So he said, "Those who go around with namima. They make enmity between friends and they seek problems for the innocent." You know, so sharing information, especially with the intention of causing problems, causing harm to someone, is especially evil and prohibited. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said that the Prophet went out to one of the gardens of Medina and he heard the sounds of two people who were being tormented, who were given azab in their graves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Right? And the Prophet was able to hear the sound. And he said that they're being punished, but they're not being punished for something that was difficult to avoid. Meaning they're not being punished for something which was very great in terms of, you know, their involvement. Like they could have easily protected themselves. So it's not something that was difficult to avoid. But nonetheless, it was a major sin. One of them did not protect himself from urine. Meaning when he went to the washroom, he did not take measures to avoid contaminating himself or his clothes. So he was careless about his cleanliness, especially in relation to najasa. And the other used to walk about spreading namima, used to go about spreading news about people, sharing tales, and as we understand from the definition, with probably an element of negativity or maliciousness. And the Prophet ﷺ told us that that person was being punished for that reason. May Allah protect us all. So my brothers and sisters, it goes without saying that if there is such seriousness of speaking about things that are true, then buhtan or slander, making false accusations, is at the height of seriousness. We've talked about different levels here. We have the most serious at the top, which is making up a false accusation or false news about someone. And this is not just for the one who says these things, by the way. It is also in the responsibility of the listener to either stop it or go away. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, if a man's Muslim brother is slandered in his presence and he is capable of defending him and does so, Allah will defend him in this world and in the next. But if he fails to defend him, Allah will destroy him in this world and the next. May Allah protect us all. So if you are hearing something which is negative or wrong or is categorized as one of these things, try to stop it if you can. Try to change the subject if you can in a nice way. You know, but if you're not able to, then try to pull yourself out of that conversation so that you are not a party to this type of evil and this type of sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to protect our trusts, including secrets. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us strength and understanding to avoid backbiting and gossip and slander. May I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength to stand up against it when it happens and to protect ourselves from all types of evil and haram. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Take a couple of minutes, inshallah, for sunnah prayers for those who wish to do so, and we'll continue.